It's Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision-making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered. And in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of my clients. And the question in the last episode was, my dad is off the ventilator and still has the tracheostomy after 5 weeks in ICU. Now they try to send him to a nursing home. How can we stop it? You can check out last week's episode by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to continue answering the next questions regarding my clients, James and Christine, and their dad is still in ICU after a hemorrhagic stroke. James and Christine's dad had a brain decompression where the surgeons evacuated a large bleed from his brain after the hemorrhagic stroke. Their dad also underwent a craniectomy, which is a partial removal of the skull, to decrease the brain pressures after the bleed. James and his sister Christine were getting their dad in one of the best hospitals in the United States, the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. In the meantime, their dad was getting a tracheostomy because he couldn't be weaned off the ventilator and the breathing tube. He also had a PEG tube for feeding inserted. He also had ongoing seizures due to the stroke, and his anti-seizure medications needed to be optimized so he could, quote unquote, wake up and progress to a neurology rehabilitation center. In today's one-on-one consulting and advocacy sessions with James and his sister Christine, we look at some setbacks their dad is currently going through. For example, he had to be put back on the ventilator due to the pneumonia he sustained in the last few days, and he also ended up with a central line and an arterial line again. In the meantime, he has come off the ventilator but still has the tracheostomy after over 5 weeks in ICU. So this series of one-on-one consulting and advocacy with James and Christine is a real testimony for getting advice. Run with it and get real results in the real world. For example, if you want to avoid LTAC or long-term acute care and a nursing home for your loved one, you need to read all of the consulting and advocacy sessions with James and Christine and follow what we discussed in there. So in today's episode of Your Questions Answered, I again answer a series of questions from James and his sister Christine. And they're all excerpts from various one-on-one phone and email consulting and advocacy sessions with me. And the topic this week is Dad has left intensive care and is in step down. Now they try and push us out to a nursing home instead of neuro rehab. Please help. You can also read or watch previous episodes of the one-on-one consulting and advocacy sessions with James and his sister Christine by clicking on the links below this video. So James writes, "Hi Patrick, we really need your guidance again. My father has now been moved to step down where he has been for 3 days. His status is about the same. However, he did have a minor subclinical seizure for about 5 minutes this past Monday. So the doctor added zonisamide 100 milligrams every 12 hours in addition to Keppra 3,500 milligrams per day, and on top of that, he's getting Dilantin 100 milligrams 3 times a day. Our dilemma is now, even though my father has been weaned off the ventilator, the physical rehabilitation doctor is saying that my father is not capable of doing 3 hours of acute therapy and therefore still needs to go back to LTAC, long-term acute care, where he can progress until he's ready for therapy. If we bring him back home, he most likely will have to go to a nursing home. We are waiting to speak to the case manager and we don't know when his discharge will be. In addition, he still needs a cranioplasty, and we would like to take his tracheostomy out at some point before bringing him home. I don't even know if they do that at the LTAC. We were hoping that he would go right from step down to the acute rehab, where he could stay for a few weeks and build up his stamina. At that point in time, we were hoping they would do the cranioplasty and then we could take him to the next phase. Please let us know your thoughts, as we're all very confused on what is the right next thing to do. Thanks from James and Christine. So here is my response. Hi, James and Christine. Nice to talk to you again today. It is going to be a challenging task to take the next steps whilst also making sure they are the right steps. Number one, I do believe skilled nursing facility is not the right approach and is worse than going to an LTAC. I was working with a client in Detroit recently and they were given the option for their dad to go to either LTAC or skilled nursing. And even though I'm by no means an advocate for LTAC, it is still the better option compared to a skilled nursing facility. The minute your dad has the tracheostomy removed, he shouldn't need LTAC at all. Therefore, downsizing the trachea is a good thing, and then they should be doing the swallowing assessment to get the trachea removed. I'm still advocating for neurorehabilitation if he meets the criteria. Your dad has single organ failure, which is the brain, and one way to improve his situation is through neurology rehabilitation. Also, find out from the neurosurgeon and the neurologist if they are considering neurorehabilitation. What's the criteria for neurorehab and is he meeting the criteria? If he doesn't meet the criteria, can they help him to meet it eventually? You may consider getting him home to Buffalo and have him in the hands of doctors that are cooperative and know him whilst being close to family. Also, speak to the insurance and find out what your dad is entitled to. As far as the zonisamide, Keppra, Dilantin and now Seroquel or Quetiapine are concerned, yes, it needs review as you want your dad seizure-free on the one hand, but also more awake on the other hand. Being quote-unquote drugged up will increase the chances of ending up in a nursing home rather than trying to work on his cognition and physiological functionality. I am unable to advise on the cranioplasty, as I mentioned. I have not seen patients coming back to ICU after a cranioplasty. Therefore, the neurosurgeon should be guiding you. Next, your dad has improved pretty well and also pretty quickly in the last couple of weeks. Therefore, don't be too discouraged if he's now stalling a bit. It is often two steps forward and one step back. Coming back from a stroke can take a long time. Most important thing is to maximize his chances of recovery in the right facility at the right time. It's a big achievement coming off the ventilator and leaving ICU. He has overcome those challenges extremely well. Therefore, keep looking at some of the positives for now. I hope that helps. Please contact me if you need more help. I am available anytime when you need me. So here is Christine's and James' response again. They're writing. Hi, Patrick. Thank you as always for your excellent guidance. It has been a big pleasure working with you. There are so many different variables to this, it is almost necessary to have someone leave them out for you in order just as you have done. You have been tremendous help and you are a large part of the reason why our father made it this far. Thanks again from James and Christine. Here's my response. Thank you, James and Christine, for your kind words. It's been a great pleasure working with you two, and I will help guide you as long as it is within my area of expertise. And then James and Christine write back again. They write, Hi, Patrick. We are still going back and forth with the hospital regarding rehabilitation facilities and what to do next with my father. The neurosurgeon PA said that it was best for my father to go to LTAC this afternoon. 1 hour later, the seizure/epilepsy team came in and they said they're going to wean my father off 3,500 milligrams of Keppra, starting at 500 milligrams per day, and leave him on the Dilantin and on the zonisamide. They wanted to take the EEG off his head on Friday, and now, all of a sudden, they want to leave it on. I believe they think the Kepra is making him agitated and angry. I don't know what to think at this point. We get a lot of conflicting messages. I wanted to get your thoughts on all of this, please. It would be ideal, in fact, if they were able to wean him off his seizure medication and get him to rehab and allow him more time to recover. So I guess this is not necessarily a bad thing. Please let us know your thoughts from James and Christine. Hi, James and Christine. Sometimes when patients leave intensive care, there can be more confusion about who's the primary care team and who is making decisions. In ICU, it's usually the ICU team making decisions in consultation with other specialist teams, but at the end of the day, ICU is making the final decisions. When patients leave ICU, it can get more blurred who is actually in charge of the decisions and ultimately of care and treatment. I think that this is what's happening currently, nobody wanting to make any major decisions and no one is in charge to move things forward, especially when it comes to hospital discharge. If they can reduce Kepra and keep him seizure-free, I think that would be ideal. You know my thoughts about LTAC, and I mentioned them over and over again. Stay away from LTAC whenever you can. I do still believe keeping him in hospital and trying to reduce the Kepra whilst also monitoring his EEG for any seizure activity is the best way forward, especially in light of the fact that they still don't really have a plan in what to do next. If he remains seizure-free whilst being weaned off the Kepra, it'll increase his chances to take the next steps. Again, neurorehabilitation. The less medications and the more coherent your dad is, the higher his chances to get to the right place in time. It sounds to me like buying time in hospital is still a good strategy for now. As long as you haven't heard from your dad running out of insurance entitlements, I would keep him in hospital for now. Also, in the bigger scheme of things, now that they and you know he can breathe independently and the quote-unquote only issue is seizure management, the focus is getting more narrowed, which I think is a good thing as there are less complex issues to deal with compared to a few weeks back. Before your dad goes somewhere else, either LTAC or even neuro rehab, it is advantageous having all medications, as well as care and treatment optimized. Please also make sure they continue to do physical therapy, etc. If you can keep working with the people who try to manage his seizure so that he can take the next step, then I think that can be advantageous in the bigger scheme of things. I hope this helps, from Patrick. Now, if you have watched this far, you may want to get one-on-one consulting as well. You can check out the options on the top of the website. Click on the link and you can select from the options that work best for you. So James and Christine, right back. Thank you, Patrick. We assume that my dad's attending physician, who is his neurosurgeon, is the one that should be making the decisions. However, he's very rarely in the hospital. His PA is the one that insisted that we leave the hospital this afternoon, and I offered to self-pay because he was not well enough to go to rehab. Now we have the seizure team trying to take him off Kepra. You are correct. It appears as though no one is taking the lead and everyone is passing the buck. I agree we will accept the help while we can get it. Please let me know your thoughts on the above, and please let me know your thoughts on reducing the Kepra to zero and leaving him on Dilantin and the zonisamide only. I thought that Dilantin was toxic and needed to be monitored in the blood. It appears as though this is our team, could keep the trial and error going forward for a very long time. Perhaps we will be better off appealing to them. What are your thoughts? From James and Christine. Hi, James and Christine. I wouldn't worry too much what the neurosurgeon's PA has to say, unless they are really forcing you to leave the hospital, which I think is unlikely as they definitely have a duty of care. I would just turn a blind eye on it for now. Unless you have heard from the insurance that he's running out of entitlements or funding, I would just go with the flow and take the help in hospital and wean him off the Keppra. Yes, Dilantin needs to be monitored in the blood regularly. If your dad can stay seizure-free on fewer meds, all the better. The place to optimize his meds in your dad's situation is in hospital, from my experience, and not in LTAC or even a nursing home. Yes, the decision maker should be the neurosurgeon or potentially a neurologist. Yes, definitely minimize trial and error. However, as I mentioned before, the brain has a life on its own and recovery as well. Meds optimization could take time. At this stage, it also helps to look at how far your dad has come in recent weeks. He's probably still only at the beginning of a long road of recovery. Definitely appeal to them if you think there is too much trial and error, but they need to probably experiment a little bit to see if he's improving or not when changing medications. I hope that helps. I hope you have a great day. Thanks from Patrick. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? How can you make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power, and real control, and how you can influence decision-making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free Instant Impact Report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what is really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions. Discover the many competing interests in intensive care and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You will get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what is really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also have a look at our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Also, have a look at our membership site, intensivecaresupport.org, for families of critically ill patients in intensive care. You can also call me, find international phone numbers on the top of the website. Also, have a look at our ebook section where you get more ebooks, videos, and audio recordings, and where you can also get one-on-one consulting and advocacy with me via Skype, over the phone, and via email by clicking on the tabs on the top of the website. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.